Good afternoon. It's 36 degrees in Richland Center at 12:09. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. State government's projected surplus has grown. The Evers administration now projects the state will finish the 2023-25 budget with a $4 billion surplus, more than the $3.5 billion that had been expected. A first look at projected revenues for the 2025-27 state budget shows an additional $644.5 million the first year and just over $382.5 million in the second year, or 2.9% and 1.7% respectively. The new projections set the stage for more disagreement between the Democratic governor and the Republicans who hold a majority in the legislature over what to do with the surplus. Home prices in Wisconsin continue to increase. The Wisconsin Realtors Association's latest monthly real estate report says strong demand and limited supply have maintained pressure on prices. The median home price rose 10.7% over the year from $280,000 to $310,000 in October. A total of 6,282 homes were sold in the state last month, slightly more than in October 2023, according to the report. 13 projects in rural communities across Wisconsin are getting a $24 million boost in funding courtesy of the U.S. Department of Ag. Wisconsin Rural Development Director Julie Lassa says the money comes through the Rural Energy for America program, which allows farmers and small businesses in rural communities to either install renewable energy systems or it can be used to help replace energy inefficient equipment. Projects getting funding include several solar arrays and grain drying systems and a dairy manure digester. Since 2021, REAP has invested more than $66 million to projects in Wisconsin since 2021. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin led a group of Democratic and Republican lawmakers in calling on the U.S. Department of Agriculture to provide immediate assistance to game bird farmers who have been denied emergency aid after suffering serious losses due to severe weather events. The Livestock Indemnity Program, or LIP, provides benefits to livestock producers for livestock deaths caused by adverse weather. However, game bird farmers in Wisconsin and across the country have recently been denied assistance by USDA. Farmers across the country have recently reported being denied emergency assistance or encouraged not to apply for LIP coverage, including in Wisconsin. In June, McFarlane Pheasant Farm in southeast Wisconsin, the largest pheasant producer in the country, lost over 50,000 birds due to a tornado. In addition to the loss of poultry, the tornado caused substantial damage to the farm, including the destruction of pens, fencing, and other farm infrastructure necessary to support the flock. The financial impact on the farm's operations has been devastating, resulting in over $2 million in damages. As a result of the destruction, the farmer owner sought LIP assistance from USDA, but was ultimately denied coverage because it is a game bird operation. In her letter, Senator Baldwin called on the USDA to reconsider its decision to deny assistance to game bird farmers under LIP and ensure that these farmers have the resources they need to recover from severe weather disasters. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden released a statement on Wednesday criticizing U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack for not answering a letter regarding the Pure Prairie poultry bankruptcy. Congressman Van Orden and a number of other representatives sent the letter in late October requesting answers on the agency's loan and grant processes and information on the bankruptcy filing. In his statement this week, Congressman Van Orden accused the USDA of ignoring small and medium-sized farmers. One election season has ended and a new one begins. Parties and candidates are already looking toward the spring, and the state Supreme Court race is shaping up. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley is retiring. Technically, justices are nonpartisan, but Walsh Bradley identifies as liberal. Susan Crawford has announced she's running for the seat. She's a judge in Dane County Circuit Court. Over the weekend, she officially got the endorsement of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin and from Justice Walsh Bradley. Meanwhile, Brad Schimmel announced last year that he'd be running for the seat. He was the Attorney General under Governor Scott Walker. He's now a judge in Waukesha County Circuit Court. Mauston school officials say the district may dissolve if residents don't approve a referendum. The school board approved a measure allowing for dissolution on Monday after a pair of spending questions failed in the last two elections. Superintendent Joel Heesch says the district will run out of money when the 2026 school year starts. The board is considering cutting all athletics, field trips, clubs, and closing an elementary school next year just to stay afloat. Mauston is the largest school district in Juneau County, and it's unclear what would happen if the district folds. A pair of familiar faces will lead the Onalaska School District until it finds a new superintendent. Former Superintendent Fran Finko and former Director of Instruction Roger Fruit will serve in an interim role until the district hires a new superintendent. Both men had retired in 2019. Finko led the district from 2011 to 2019, spending 27 years in the district. Fruit served in multiple administrative roles in his 20 years with Onalaska. The vacancy was created when Todd Antony abruptly resigned 3 weeks ago. U.S. Department of Agriculture, Rural Development Wisconsin State Director Julie Lassa highlighted that the department is investing nearly $2.6 million to help Southwest Health Center Incorporated construct a child care facility. The funding is through Rural Development's Community Facilities Grant Program. It's the latest funding awarded for child care in Wisconsin, demonstrating the department's priority of making child care more accessible in rural areas. Southwest Health Center is located in Platteville and is the largest healthcare employer in the region. Over the past 8 years, Southwest Health Center has tripled in size, which has resulted in a significant need for accessible child care. Funds will be used to construct a new state-of-the-art child care facility near the hospital campus, which will add approximately 200 slots for children from birth through the age of six. The building will include space for 7 classrooms with restrooms, commons areas, offices, storage, kitchen, and outdoor access for children. The center will work in partnership with the Platteville School District to provide after-school programs for students through the age of 12. As many organizations are suffering from a shortage of volunteers, research shows over 75.7 million, or 28.3% of the U.S. population age 16 and up, formally volunteered through an organization between September 2022 and September 2023, approaching a return to pre-pandemic levels of volunteerism, according to joint research by the U.S. Census Bureau and AmeriCorps. Although more Americans formally volunteered, the number of hours served per person has continued to decline. New data shows that formal volunteering is rebounding and informal helping is climbing. Formal volunteering is helping others through organizations like food banks and other nonprofits. Informal helping includes activities like mowing a neighbor's lawn or bringing them groceries. According to AmeriCorps' analysis, the Census Bureau's current population survey, Civic Engagement and Volunteering Supplement data collected in September 2023, formal volunteers served an estimated 4.99 billion hours and contributed over $167.2 billion in economic value between September 2022 and 2023. An estimated 54.2% of Americans helped or exchanged favors with neighbors such as house sitting, running errands, or lending tools between September 2022 and 2023, compared to 51.7% in 2019. And for the first time, the survey is tracking virtual volunteering, which gained popularity during the pandemic. It shows that 18% of formal volunteers serve completely or partially online. It's time for this week's Richland County History Moment with Richland County Historical Society President Ken Theed.
It was mid-November in 1850, approving several early ferries then established and the first bridge in Richland County. And now for a Richland County Historical Society History Moment. Here's the rest of the story. According to Chapter 4, titled Government in the County, U.S. GenWeb Info, November 20th, 1850, the new Board of Supervisors took possession of the helm of government, and the first act of their administration was to authorize James Laws to establish and keep a ferry at Brigstown on the Wisconsin River. At the same time establishing the following, the rate to be charged for the ferriage included 2 horses and a wagon, 50 cents. 1 horse and a wagon, 25 cents. 1 horse and a carriage, 35 cents. 1 horse and a man, 25 cents. Cattle per head, 10 cents a cow. Each foot passenger, 10 cents. Hogs and sheep per head, 3 cents each. The license granted to Mr. Laws was for the term of 3 years, the first year to be free of any charges. As an instance of the trouble of traveling in these early days, it is recorded that it be necessary for the county to send a man to Milwaukee on business. The time being occupied by him on that journey, there and back, would take 12 days. The mode of travel, horseback. The salaries of these early days seem to have been so small that it's a wonder that men could seek political preferment. As an instance of it, it's noted that the minutes of this session of the board, that board allowing J.W. Coffinberry to become county judge, the magnificent salary of $10 a year. They also authorized him to procure the necessary record books for his office at the proper expense of the county. The same board made allowances for $50 per year for the salary of a prosecuting attorney. The ferry from Richmond to Muscadet was also licensed, and the rates of the ferriage established by that same board, Matthews and Smith being the proprietors, James H. Wallace was also granted the right to establish a ferry at Richland City across the Wisconsin River on the same terms, the same rates as the ferriage granted to those other parties. How about the first bridge? Well, that was built by the county, which any record that exists seems to have been built by James Laws across Merriman's Creek at the cost of $17. And that was finished and billed accordingly on that very same date, November 20th, 1850. Listen next week for the history of Richland County covering the town of Aiken.
The Richland County Historical Society appreciates your support. It's been a great year with many new family, individual, and business members. Would you consider joining? For just $10 a year, individuals or families can be a member. Yearly memberships for businesses, just $20. A lifetime membership is available for just $100. Membership payments and donations can be sent to the Richland County Historical Society, 213 South Central Avenue, Apartment 1, Richland Center, Wisconsin, 53581. The Society hopes you're enjoying these weekly history moments.
Today is the Great American Smokeout. It is held each year on the third Thursday of November. Although cigarette smoking rates have been declining, cigarette smoking remains the most preventable cause of serious illness and death. Smoking and exposure to secondhand smoke cause more than 480,000 deaths in the U.S. every year. Smoking cigarettes increases the risk of at least 12 different cancers. In the U.S., cigarette smoking causes about 3 of every 10 cancer deaths. This number is higher in parts of the South than Appalachia. Some groups of people smoke more heavily or at higher rates. These populations tend to be those who face barriers to care and inequities in multiple areas of their lives, including people at lower socioeconomic levels, those without college degrees, American Indians and Alaska Natives, African American and Black communities, LGBTQ plus communities, people serving in the military, and people with mental health conditions. Quitting smoking isn't easy. It takes time and a plan. Success may look different for different people. There are many ways to quit smoking, and some work better than others. To have the best chance of quitting and remaining smoke-free, you need to know what you're up against, what your options are, and where to go for help. The American Cancer Society can help you access the resources and support you need to quit. You don't have to stop smoking in one day. Start with day one. The Great American Smokeout can be your day to start your journey toward a smoke-free life. You'll be joining thousands of people who smoke across the country in taking an important step toward a healthier life and reducing your cancer risk. The American Red Cross is asking you to gather your friends and be there for others by making a blood or platelet donation. Festive activities and busy calendars this time of year can disrupt normal routines, leading to a drop in blood donation appointments. Two drives are being held today. The first is being held until 1:30 at Kickapoo High School. The second is until 2 at the Richland Center High School. Appointments are preferred by visiting redcrossblood.org or calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. This is International Education Week. It's about expanding horizons, making connections, and establishing mutual understanding between people in the United States and other countries. You are invited to attend a local International Education Week event. The exchange students at Richland Center High School will host International Night this evening beginning at 6 in the West Commons in Large Group Instruction Room. Meet the international students, sample some traditional foods, and learn about their countries and cultures. The event is free and open to all. The cast and crew of Riverdale's one-act play, When Bad Things Happen to Good Actors, will perform tonight at 6:10 at the state competition on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Today's winner in the Ithaca Football Boosters Calendar Raffle is Andy Keller.